Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, I do. Need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world what it used to be. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Tell me now,
wonder what you tell me now.
Fire!
color. Everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody.
Come on down, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up, all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
Teach the children.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
Amen, 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 amen. To God be the glory for this awesome, this wonderful, this magnificent Monday night. Always grateful, always thankful to be here amongst the living. We thank God for this 16th day of May, a day we've never seen before. We'll never see this day again. I'm grateful that you are here. I thank God for your presence. I thank him for allowing your schedule to be free, to be able to be here and be able to stand in agreement with us tonight with our opening prayer, ushering in the Holy Spirit. We want to thank God once again for allowing us an opportunity to understand what it means in oneness, the willingness to give. And I know so many of us give so much of our gifts, our time, our talents, our money to others. But then there's others that we know may not be as generous with any of those. And so we thought tonight would be a night that we can speak about the willingness to give to our spouse. And it's always a blessing when you do it. But how many of us know that so many still don't do it? And so we just pray tonight that you pray for both Jesse and I as we go through the lesson tonight. And that's simply what it is. We're just giving you just a little bit of nuggets for you to take and dissect and do what you have to do to be a blessing to others. And we just thank God again always for that beautiful song, Wake Up Everybody. We understand and know that if you constantly are sleeping, there's nothing you can get accomplished and done. So you've got to get up out of that bed, get that necessary good night's rest, get up in the morning, get moving, and wake up thinking, how can I be a blessing to somebody else? We can't keep thinking backwards that it's about what somebody else is doing for me, not what we have the capabilities of doing for somebody else. We got to change this world with our thinking. It starts with us as individuals. You know, we used to have, I know so many of us, so much hatred because of the war and the poverty and so much going on around us. And now we're back into so much racial, you know, challenges that we're dealing with, not only through, unfortunately, within the police forces, but individuals that just want to take it upon themselves to come and do whatever they can in the black community without having any consequences, or they feel, think, and believe they won't have. But the response from a police officer is that we know when they enter and meet up with men of color, they respond to them totally different than a man that is considered of the Caucasian race. And I just hope and pray that we all are able to do our part. We wake up, we realize we can make a change in this world. We can't keep sitting back and doing nothing. We got to thank our teachers as they educate our children. But as they educate them, let them realize they have to do it in a new way to keep their attention. And so we're so thankful and grateful. That's why we play this song week after week after week. Because if you go, let me just ask all of you under the sound of my voice, when you get an opportunity, I want you to go and pull up Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes and pull this song's lyrics up called Wake Up Everybody. You get blessed by it. I know you hear it week after week, but sometimes you may not be listening to the words as much as the lyrics as much as the beat. And the lyrics say, and they state a story before us. and they tell us what we need to do. And so I thank you for allowing us this opportunity to pour into you as you pour into us. So we want to just give you an opportunity tonight. If you desire to speak, press 1 on your phone. It will put you in the host queue. And then once Minister Jesse sees your phone lit up, he will give you an opportunity to speak. And we just want to say thank you in advance for taking the time to speak with us, to minister to our listening audience. And guess what? When you reach out and you're doing something and you're speaking, a lot of times if you take that first step, God will take the rest. So you're even ministering to yourself, because a lot of times, even with me, when I'm ministering to you, I don't know half the stuff I'm saying until sometimes I go back and I listen to the recording. And I'm grateful that I'm able to, because once I'm in the spirit, I don't know what God may put on my spirit to speak and say and do. And so that's why if we have a willing spirit, God will do the rest. And sometimes you won't even realize what you're saying, but being a blessing to someone else. Most gracious, most heavenly Father, this is your daughter, Tammy, thanking you once again for the opportunity you give me personally to come before your throne of mercy. Thank you for your grace that continues to flow with each and every one of us day in and day out. We don't know what we would do without you, Lord God. We understand and know that it's because of your grace and mercy that keeps us. It's because of your grace and mercy that will allow us to understand the willingness to give, that it's better to give than to receive. Give us the ability to just dig down deep in our hearts and let us, Father God, pull out the love that you taught us. Let us be able, Father, to be respectful to one another and understand and know what it is that we must do. When I think about your word, Lord God, and I think about all that you tell us in your word about love and helping one another and doing our part to be there for our brothers and sisters, treating our neighbors as ourselves and loving our neighbors. And I just pray that tonight, Lord God, a word in season will be spoken into the lives of the people that you have strategically placed here on the Blog Talk Radio Show. We're not here for no form or fashion. We're here just to have a simple conversation to help those that have come that desire, not that they have any issues, Lord God, in their marriage, but they want to stay on track to make sure that their marriage is moving in the direction that you would want them to stay in. Because we know if there's anything that you have to do with it, Lord God, it will be great. It will be successful. It will be full of happiness. It will be full of oneness, which is what you desire for us to be able to be at. I declare and I decree peace that surpasses all understanding. May it be upon each and every one of you. I pray tonight, Lord God, that as we come forward, that you will continue to give us the ability to recognize, know, and understand that we're not perfect and nobody under the sound of my voice is. Give us all the ability to understand the word forgiveness. Let us go and let us be able to be forgiving one to another. Let us be able, Lord God, Father, to even in situations when we know, Father, that we should have helped our spouse or we should have helped a family member out more or we should have been, Father God, in a more selfless mode and not be selfish, but be willing to assist and willing to help our brother or our sister. Give us the ability to understand and know, Father God, what you desire for us to do in this area. Every individual on the sound of my voice, whether they're married, whether they're single, no matter what the situation is, Lord God, I declare and I decree that you be in the midst of everything they stand in need of. Bless them, Father God, one by one. Be with their marriages. Be with the marriages to be. Be with those that are believing in you and strategically, Father God, just holding on to your unchanging hand, knowing that you have a perfect soulmate in store for them. So bless them, Father, so that they can wait up on you. I pray tonight, Lord God, for this awesome man of God that I call my husband, my best friend, my confidant, my workout partner, the individual that you have taught me to love, the individual that you have taught me to be patient with, the individual you've taught me to have self-control with. I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to give us the ability to continue to share through transparency tonight, that you're going to be in the midst to allow Minister Jesse to come forward and bring a word in season and allow us, Lord God, to be able to spread your good news to all that we come in contact with. Sometimes it's just making it simple, understanding what it is, Father, to have a willingness to give. Give us all that willing spirit to be able to give to others, especially our spouse. I love you so much, and I want to say thank you for this day and every day that you give us to glorify your holy name. Go and be with us, Lord God. Watch over and keep us. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Well, let everybody say amen once again. We praise God and we thank God for your presence here tonight. Or if you are listening right now in the archive, we praise God because we know and understand that God is able to do all things in the present, in the flesh, or any time in the future. God is able. We live in a world today that we can easily say is a world filled with selfishness, a world filled with a desire to receive versus the desire to give. And see, we are conditioned that way in so many forms of activity that takes place in our lives. You know, we had an opportunity this past weekend to go and see the beauty of giving, yet we also had a couple of opportunities to witness a view of selfishness. But in all cases, when we see that desire to give, it appears that it has a more connective and reflective reality to our spirits and especially to our hearts. And before we start tonight, we want to first extend our condolences to the families of those whose loved ones were tragically murdered this weekend by this 18-year-old who many are describing as a white supremacist terrorist. And those are not my words, but those are the words of the authorities on the scene in Buffalo, New York. And so our hearts go out also because there, according to the researchers, have been well over 200 mass shootings during the course of 2022. And so, yes, we pray and we hope and we believe that this senseless, selfish killing will stop. According to everything we are hearing, this young 18-year-old white male had been approached or had been exposed over 2 years ago. But once again, we see that there is a different response to some teenager, some male that may be black versus some that may be white. And this is not going to be about that situation. It's going to be about give, the willingness to give. And see, the willingness to give even applies to those in authority who have the ability to assess situations. And we hope that they would give those people the same kind of opportunities that it appears this young man was given by the police in Buffalo. I can't imagine. I just must be real this evening. I can't imagine if that was a black 18-year-old that was in a white neighborhood that had shot that many white people that the police would have came and that young man would have been arrested and taken out peacefully. I'm sorry. But we live in a world today where I just had a very difficult time because the statistics have proven it out, that black males are 3 times more likely to have been murdered in that situation, to have been gunned down in that situation than young white men, or even for that matter, middle-aged or old white men. That's the reality. And see, we believe that we are conditioned to take, and sometimes you see that take. Lives were taken this weekend. Longevity was not given. There's a difference between giving and taking. There is a tremendous difference. See, we expect in America to receive. We expect to be given something. Now, I know that the words say it's more blessed to give than to receive. And it says that God truly loves a cheerful giver. God loves to see us have a willingness to give, a willingness to share. And it's not just about money. It's about everything. It's about your willingness to do multiple things. And we'll give some examples of those later on. But we're praying, we're believing, we're hoping tonight that we can have a greater understanding of why it's so vitally important to be a giver. But tell me, I'm going to ask you a question. I mean, why do you think, in general, just in general, why do you think humans are so selfish? What is it about humans that caused them to be so selfish in the first place?
Well, Jesse, I think so often, you know, we might feel, think, and believe that some humans are really, truly, and psychologists even say that some people are just born that way and you are learned to be loving and kind. You're learned to be giving throughout the years. You know, when I think about even studies that have been obtained, there have been psychological data that has been obtained from previous researchers, Jesse, that suggests that humans tend to be selfish because they like the attention that they get. I don't understand it because that's not a part of me. There has also been, you know, a general assumption that human beings are essentially selfish. And unfortunately, we apparently are ruthless with strong impulses to compete against each other for resources and to, you know, to do our part to receive the power that we want and in the possessions that we get, you know. If we're kind to one another, it's usually because we have ulterior motives. Now, how many of us know that it is so much better for us to be a giver versus receiving? How many of us know that it is so much better for us to show love versus turning our head and showing more hatred? How many of us know that it's up to us to continue to fulfill the word of God? And I don't understand it sometimes, Jesse, but when I think about so much that's going on around us and when I think about just in general why humans are so selfish, you know, it's hard for people to rejoice and be glad when they see a fellow brother or sister purchase a new car because they have the means to do it, or when they see a brother or sister purchase a beautiful home because they have the means to do it. I don't understand how we cannot get excited, get happy for someone because we know God is no respecter of a person. If we do what we're supposed to do to position ourselves to have that same capability to learn and to receive from what God taught these people, we can have the same thing. But the problem is, Jesse, so many are so lazy. And so it's not so much that we, you know, have to be selfish, but the reality is that so many are. But when I think about Hebrews 6:10, Jesse, it tells us God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. And so we have to continue to fulfill God's word. Just because others may feel, think, and believe, and studies have been done that say that we are a selfish human being, we don't have to receive that. We don't have to accept that. Our actions can be different. One of the things when I think about it, when you are serving others, it's a form of expressing our faith, Jesse, in and to God. When we start to grow weary in our serving, we can be regenerated in our communities by knowing that he sees us and he will not forget the good works that we've done. But I know that everybody's not there. They're not in that space. And there are others that just have some issues. But I would like to know, Jesse, because when we're trying to go through this and we're giving you reasons why not to be selfish and what you should do, but why are we so afraid to give then, Jesse? Why?
Well, that's a $64,000 question. Why are we afraid to give? I think as we've chatted in the previous lessons over these past few weeks, most of us have had some level of abuse. And see, abuse is not something that's always physical. It could be mental. It could be spiritual. It could be emotional. We've chatted about that. If you want to hear about some of that, go back into the archives and you can listen to those lessons. But I do believe that the reason why we are afraid to give is because we're afraid that we won't receive a return. Yet we know the Bible tells us that you give and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. We know that from Luke, where we read in that particular sixth chapter, that what the word has to say about it. But see, many of us have not lived lives where we have been willing to give. And so as long as we are unwilling to give, we are not able to test, you know, God. We're not able to test the law of reciprocity. We're not able to test the law of reaping and sowing. And so when we don't test it, when we don't reality test what God has already said, then all of a sudden we begin to build this fear, this false evidence that appears real, and so we become somewhat stingy. Now, mind you, we may become stingy as it relates to giving to others, but that does not translate to mean that we are saving for a rainy day or saving for those things that we need. As a matter of fact, if you look at the nations around the world, the developed nations of the world, the United States is not in the top 10 in terms of percent per capita of earnings saved, not even in the top 10. Many European countries are in the top 10 in that regard. Now, the United States is number 5 or number 6, depending on what you look at in terms of giving, in terms of saving to themselves. But once again, if you want to look at it from a standpoint of giving, you know, we really give to ourselves, and that's fine because we should give to ourselves. We should save for our families and save for that rainy day. But Americans in general believe they are superior in all activities and in all areas. And while we may feel that, that does not mean it's necessarily true. And so what happens, I believe, over time, we get to a point to where perhaps we have given and we expected to receive something back from perhaps that same place where we sowed those seeds. Those seeds were sown. But what we have to understand, in God's world, in the spiritual kingdom of God, you may not reap where you have sown. You may reap where you did not sow because you have sown into God's universe. And so we sometimes have a difficult time, and so tell me, when we don't see a return based on a particular activity or a particular segment of our world, and we don't see a return back to us, we sometimes then become afraid to give because we didn't receive a return. Yet if we are consistent, we know this by a fact, God will indeed find a way to have that seed coming back to you. And see, sometimes we may even feel guilty when somebody give us something. And that brings me to this, Tammy. Why is it? I know sometimes we'll hear people say, well, I feel guilty about taking that. Or sometimes you want to give somebody something. You want to bless them with something. And they'll say, oh, no, I can't take that. And oftentimes it's interpreted as we, for whatever reason, we feel guilty about receiving something of value. Why is that, you think?
Well, Dusty, that is a wonderful question. And it is a question we should all look at. Well, why do we sometimes feel guilty when given something of value? Well, a lot of it we feel guilty because, it's just put it out there, Jesse. A lot of times you're feeling guilty when something is given to you of value is because you don't give to people of value. And so, and if you're not doing what you know God has called you to do, and you should be willing, it doesn't matter what you're giving. If you want to buy it for yourself, and if it's good enough for yourself, you should be willing to gift someone else in that same manner. You should not put limits on what you know God has instructed you to do. You know, I thank God because we all have to be willing to give of ourselves, to give of our finances, as we spoke about earlier, to give, you know, of our emotions even to our spouse. We have to be willing to pour in to one another, and we can't feel guilty about it. Now, one of the things that I will say, Jesse, is, you know, that does bring a lot of guilt. Say, for instance, you got a spouse that gets up every morning and brings coffee to his beautiful bride each and every morning. And then it may be a day or two that he may decide to sleep in. Well, I'm going to tell you, you shouldn't feel guilty because you get up and not go get him a coffee. Where you should feel guilty is receiving coffee from him when you don't even have it in the forefront of your mind ever to return that same favor. That's where the guilt comes in. That's when I know you do and you should feel guilty. It's all about how can I make someone happy. There's nothing like when I'm laying in bed and Jesse does it way more than I do. But I get my opportunity as well. But I look forward to just laying there because I'm one that before I get out of the bed, he knows I'll send up my prayer before my feet touch the floor. I'll meditate a little bit. I'll set my alarm 30 minutes before. And he'll go on and get up, and he'll come in and make the coffee, bring me coffee, and I'm still laying there meditating. And that is some of the best feeling in the world. And when I get that opportunity to return that favor, it does me well to be able to do it. You know, one of the things, Jesse, I will say that even when it comes to analysts and when they're predicting, you know, this so-called guilt gifting, whether it's a physical gift, whether it's a gift of just your getting up out of the bed and coming and getting coffee and taking it back, whether it may be that you slide some money in your pocket. You know, I know we were with my sister and her husband this weekend, and a lot of times she carries a lot of the money around in her purse, and she always makes sure that when we're out of town that her husband has cash in his pocket, just like you do for me, Jesse. I don't know how many times when I'm going out of town before I leave out of the room to exit out of the house, you will always ask me, do you have cash? Because Jesse knows I'm one that does not carry cash. I would prefer to use a credit card where I can keep track of our money. And he said, you never should travel, Tammy, without some form of cash. And he will always slip me, you know, usually a couple hundred dollars or so in my pocket to make sure I have cash in the event their credit card is not being accepted. Well, just this weekend, they picked us up at the airport. We had such a wonderful time with them. And on our drive in, right after they picked us up, one of the things that they were saying to us, one of the things that and Paul asked, he said, well, I don't even know if I have any cash. And before he can even say anything, my sister Anita said, you don't have to worry about it. I already put it in your wallet. It's in your wallet. And he didn't even know it. That's what they call an unexpected gift. That's something that you really wanted to go out of your way. You didn't have to hand it to them because you didn't want any form or fashion to come out of it. But you wanted to make sure that they were covered. That's what it's all about. You see somebody in need, do your part to make sure that you take care of them. That's what God would want us to do. And so I'm very grateful and I'm very thankful that we're able to share with God's people who are in need and those that we know are in a situation where they need a blessing from us that can bless them. So continue to do your part to be a giver so that when it's given back to you, there's no guilt. And I just thank God on this day that he gives us that we're able to believe and receive that there is something special for all of us. But in regards to that, Jesse, one of the things that I would like to ask you, because this thing about giving, you have this down pat, and God has gifted you in this area of giving. I don't know how many times that when we first got together, every time I turned around, I seen you giving. As a matter of fact, one of the things I will say before I turn it back over to you, I remember when we were opening up our accounts, our joint account, I remember you saying we need to open up a giving account. He said, because it's more important to give. And we got to pour into that account. And at the appropriate time when God ushers us to give to whomever, it's there for us to be able to pull from. And so I just totally just respected that and appreciated that from you. And so to God be the glory for that. But what is the main point you would like to make in regards to giving? Because it's so much of a part of who you are.
Well, Tammy, powerful question, and I guess really the key point of all of this is you can't outgive God, the Creator, the Most High. See, even in the secular world, we see the priceless value of giving. We're often asked to give, even you were sharing with someone the other day about fundraising activities for kids, for the family, the neighbors, business association, as associates. Just as an example, we know from experience the value received by those we give to. And it may be on the local, the national, even the international level. God, you can't outgive him. He's going to bless you. It may not come from the source that you think it should come from, but our thoughts are not like God. And so we know we can't get to that point, but the key point is simply you cannot outgive God. Don't be afraid. There are going to be moments when you don't have enough to give to all of those that have a need, and you have to make a decision, or sometimes you might decide that while I don't believe this gift is really representative of what I want this person to receive, that may be what you have at that particular moment. And that leads us really to understanding something that you need to know about giving. And that's a question that people ask all the time, but I like to get your opinion. What do you think? Do we need others to know what we give? Tammy, do we need them to know, or should we just be giving out of love?
Well, Jesse, the most important thing is to give just out of love. We should not have to go and broadcast everything we do, because we're doing it unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're doing it out of the kindness of our heart based on what we know is right. You know, one of the things that I think about, Jesse, in John 15, 12 through 13, where it tells us, my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lie down one's life for one's friends. So when I think about this thing, Jesse, and I think about, you know, should you show or tell someone else that you're doing all these things from people, you just live your life and keep giving as a second nature thing. You don't have to broadcast it. You don't have to go and put your face in front of somebody else. It's going to be seen publicly when God wants it to be seen. And the reason why it will be seen publicly and it will be found out whenever and at the appropriate time is so that God can use us as living examples of what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. It's up to us to make sure that we do our part to go out and love one another, not so much that we have to be seen and we have to get accolades and everything else because of what we do. But instead, what God wants us to do is to make sure that we're doing everything in our power to do what his word tells us to do. So, Jesse, with that all being said, should we give out of a need or a desire?
That's a very, very good. That's an excellent question, actually. Because, see, there are times when it may depend. See, sometimes we need to give. We need to give because we need to feel that intrinsic spirit that comes alive when we give. You know, over the process of time, that need and that desire will begin to merge, and you just become a giver. And it's not one that's going to be based on need or desire. You're just a giver. Because we are born to give, and we learn to prefer to receive in a world plagued by self-righteousness. And so we pray constantly all the time about what can we do to become a more cheerful giver, to follow the model that God has already made available to us. Who could be a greater giver than God himself? Well, we read it said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, not so much that the world might be condemned, but through his son, the world might be saved. So see, we can't outgive God. And we know also there's scripture that says, what greater friend is there than that man or that woman who would be willing to give up their life for that friend? And this weekend, didn't we not, we went to another marriage ceremony where part of the vows is that you will love, honor, cherish, do all of that good stuff. You'll give everything you have to your spouse. And we had a chance once again to witness, to see, in my view, one of the greatest examples of ministry and of giving that you can see by being able to see your sister being ministered to by her husband, her spouse, and then also to see you and Tina and Mama Holloway and all of those others that were willing to minister to the needs of my twin by birth, your sister. So, yes, need and desire, at some point, I believe as we mature, they will come together. But, Tammy, let's move maybe to some more specific examples. What are some examples of how we can give in marriage and ministry in general?
Well, Jesse, I think if we start with time, you know, how much time do you give to your spouse on a daily basis? That should be an ongoing question for each and every one of you. If you're not giving time to your spouse to see how they're doing, to see how they're feeling, to understand a little bit more about them. And trust me, we've been married 25, almost 26 years, and there are things I'm still learning about you, Jesse, and I'm still just in awe about and grateful. I will encourage each and every one of our listeners, take advantage in the morning. Turn off the television. As you're getting dressed and you're in the room together, have conversation as you're moving about. You don't have to get into anything real serious that would take you to sit down and look into each other's eyes. It just could be general conversation. Could be just encouraging each other as you go about your individual day. It may flip-flop. It may be in the evening. One or the other may get up and leave while the other's asleep. That's quite okay because everybody's schedule is different. And if you do choose to do that, one of the things that I will say, make time in the afternoon, in the evening when you get home, to have a few minutes to find out how was your day. Are you in need of anything? Make that your business. The other is love, Jesse. How often do you tell your spouse how much you truly love them? You know, we were just overwhelmed with so much love this weekend. And you and I both kept saying how much we love one another. And it was just such a great feeling. There was so much love in the air. It was contagious that we had to just want to just give back. And then we get home and we're in that same mode of giving, of love. If you haven't told your spouse yet today, I love you, take a few moments and do that even before we get off the call. I don't care if you got to text them. I don't care if you got to email them. If you got to call them when we get off the call, let them know that you love them. And then, Jesse, the other area that I would think that's just as important is trust. Trust. What area can you point to that shows sincere trust in your spouse? Are you questioning your spouse every day they come home from work? Do you not trust your spouse when they leave out of the house to go to the grocery store or go somewhere with their friends by themselves without you? Are you going to trust them that they're going to know and believe that they've been gifted a good thing in you as their spouse, that you should not worry about them, that when you release them to go out without you, that you have a relationship that's solid, that you will be able to respect one another in the time away, that you will not allow yourself an opportunity to get in infidelity or anything else? Are you willing to say, I trust my spouse and not go through a series of worry, stress, and anxiety from the time that your spouse walks out the door until your spouse comes back in? Develop trust if you don't have it. Talk about things that concern you that will allow your trust to be increased. And then last but not least, Jesse, I will share this. Support. That's a big word in marriages. Are you supporting your spouse? To what level of support do you support your spouse now? I don't know, but I know one thing. If you're not supporting them, it becomes an issue in your marriage. So do your part to support to the utmost. And last but not least, I'll leave with this scripture as it kind of ties it all back together. In Philippians 2, Jesse 3 and 4, where it tells us, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. So when you're looking at support, it's not what you want to do. It's what your spouse wants to do. If your spouse comes to you and says, you know what, Tammy, I would love to go to the Kentucky Derby. I would love to go and be a part of that event. I would love for you to go and be by my side. Well, how many of you all know that that would be probably not an area that I would choose to spend some of my free time that is very limited because I'm a very busy young lady. And so, but if my spouse was to ask me, let's go and experience this. Let's go and be there with all of those horses that don't smell the way that I would like to be in an event that would be smelling. And then going and wearing hot hats and sitting in the sun, you know, all day and just watching horses running around a track. That is not something I don't think I would do. But if my spouse came to me and said that's what they want to do, I would lend all support that I could. And the thing we have to understand is with everyone looking out for everyone else's interest, then you are more than thinking about your own and your own self. You are then putting yourself in a position to allow yourself to be a blessing once again to your spouse by supporting some of their interests and supporting what they desire to do. So I encourage you all, do your part to make sure that you spend time with your spouse. Do your part to show the love that you know God wants you to show. Research through communication more about your spouse to gain more trust. And then last but not least, as we spoke, do your part to continue to allow the support that they need from you. And in saying all that, Jesse, I know that was a lot. And I thank you for the opportunity to allow me just to lift up just a couple things through example. But how do you know your spouse has empowered you? What would be things that would make you have confirmation from that?
Again, a very excellent question. I think when you are empowered by your spouse, all of the elements that you mentioned as examples, the time, the love, the trust, the support will begin to manifest itself. It won't be difficult. You won't have to think about, well, when the last time we did this or that, or when was the last time my spouse said they loved me, or when was the last time my spouse did something for me on a day when it wasn't Valentine's or Mother's Day or Christmas or birthday or whatever. And it becomes very easy then because you truly become the apple of their eye. And see, there are many ways we can begin to see the empowerment. See, some of us come together in marriage with different spiritual orientation even. Some of us, even those that may consider themselves of the theoretical Christian faith, they still may have been brought up in a Baptist, a Methodist, a Episcopalian, a Lutheran, a Catholic, all kinds of ways. And each and every one of them may have evidence of where their unwillingness to be flexible or to be inclusive could cause all kinds of issues in a marriage. But see, you are empowered when your spouse simply says, as long as I know you serve the Creator, I'm not going to trip on all of this other stuff. See, even some that may be listening to my voice right now would say, oh, no, they got to believe everything I believe. Who said that? See, God is God. You know, even when we think about Abraham's sons, and we mentioned this last week, all adhering to the same father, all saying he's the same father, yet we see in the world today the differences and the exclusionary tactics and activity that we see from the three major, again, so-called theoretical religions in the world. That's not from God, it's from man. But we know we are empowered when we have that freedom and that flexibility. Where mentally we don't attempt to tear down each other. Where mentally we attempt to build up, we attempt to help each other We may be different even socially, that we may not even see things the same way because, again, of our orientation, of our upbringing, the things we experienced when we were growing up. We don't have to be the same and think the same. God gave all of us. Think about it. We are so unique that even today they're beginning to discover more and more about the human DNA and just how unique we are. J.A. Rogers has said it in his book, Nature Knows No Color Lines, that we have traveled all over the planet, been all over the planet. And you can take a man and a woman from any planet, any part of the planet, they come together, they handle their business, the end result will be another human being all together like you and I. The real deal is emotionally, you know you have been empowered when you are able to come back together, even in disagreement, the way you are not trying to destroy each other, but you have a sincere willingness, a sincere desire to give of yourself, to give to your spouse everything you even know. Sometimes we don't understand it. The greatest thing we can give to each other is our mind, our spirit, our soul, and our emotion. While we know the enemy is going to try to do everything he can to limit that inclusion, to limit that coming together, to see that all of the background that you may have and all of the background that your spouse has, God has blended it together. And from that, that's why God has said to us, when this man and this woman come together and become one flesh, that joining together will give them a power and give them a capability far greater than they could achieve as a single individual. Now, I know that there are some that are specially and uniquely gifted, but according to God's first ordained institution, it is not good for a man, it is not good for a woman to live alone. So, Tammy, that's how I believe you know you are empowered, is that how much power, how much love, how much support do you receive from your spouse? So what I'd like to do in the last few minutes, Tammy, is really give you a couple minutes to close and remember that we've got to be going in before 9 o'clock because Minister Lil Killings will be coming on at that time. But I'd like you to make a few closing comments and then close us out in prayer.
Thank you so much, Jesse. That was so informative, and I'm just grateful that I was here tonight to hear it. And I thank God my voice increased throughout the day. I always lose my voice when I go home, but to God be the glory. I have it for tonight. And one of the things that I would like to just leave with our listening audience, Jess, is something very simple that, you know, we went through it during the pandemic. And that was when there was very little toilet paper that was on the shelves because everybody just went crazy about purchasing toilet paper. But how many of us know that we had so much toilet paper in our closets that there may be others that had none? How about us being willing to think about others and not try to buy up everything or buy excessive that we don't need? Same thing going on with baby formula. Why buy everything off? I just talked to a young lady that was at the wedding this past weekend, and I had asked her, I said, she had a four-month-old baby. I said, are you having some issues? Are you having some challenges with the baby formula? I know very few people are able to find it. First thing she said back to me is no, because we went out and we bought enough supply that will last us for the next 8 months. So in my opinion, by then, there's not going to be an issue probably within the next month. But you bought up so much that you probably could have allowed 10 to 15 families to be blessed as well. Let's not be selfish and let us do our part. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to speak about the willingness to give. Let us show our actions different than we have in the past based on what we just learned tonight. I pray that you touch every individual in the sound of my voice. Give them an opportunity to go out and be a blessing to somebody else. Let them continue to have a willing spirit to give, not only to their spouse, but to all that they come in contact with. Thank you for their presence tonight. Go and be with them. Be with us all until we see you face to face. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Agape love.